In the weeks leading up to the election, Franklin Graham made a tour across America to go and pray on the Capitol steps in all 50 states. And in that prayer gathering, to pray and ask a few things: that God would call us to Himself, that we would humble ourselves as a people, and that we would pray and intercede for God's leading on our land. I think everyone here knows how critical we felt like this election was and still is. It's not the first election in America in which it's been said that this is the most critical election in the history of our land. That's almost been said through all 44, now the 45th president being elected. It's almost been said every time that we've had an election. I'm not here to argue the merits of how critical this was. I think that we all understand the choice was clear, particularly in regards to Supreme Court, particularly in regards to the rights of the unborn, particularly in regards to freedom of worship, Second Amendment, etc. Leading up to the election, the world needed to see something from the church. Our country needed to see something from the church. I pray that they saw what they needed to see. Post-election, our world, our land needs to see something from the church and hear something from the church. I pray that they will see and hear what they need to see and hear from those of us who all are, who each are, a part of His church. I draw your attention this morning to Acts chapter 2 and 3. I want to pick up in Acts 2, just to give a little bit of the setting. It had been the day of Pentecost. In verse 41 of Acts 2, those who accepted His message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number of that day. In the next section, we see some of the things that started to happen in the church in the fellowship of believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, the breaking of the bread. And we'll be having communion next Sunday here, by the way. To prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together and everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone what he had in need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now we come to chapter 3. Specific example of someone needing to see and hear from the church. Chapter 3, verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate, called Beautiful, and he was put there day by day to beg for those who were going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." For the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Sound like our society? Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I said, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet. He began to walk. He went into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Precious Lord, may the world see and hear the message of hope and healing that's found in Jesus. And I pray that they will see and hear it through us, each of us. In your name we pray, and everyone said, Amen. Tuesday was an interesting day. A very interesting day. It was interesting to go vote and to be standing in a long line. We vote out at River Bluff Church. They're off of Dorchester. And we stood in a very long line to get to vote. Came out, went back to the parsonage and did some work on trying to clean up and get ready for things that were going to be happening. And just a long day, and then settled in that night to watch the results coming in. Amazing results that were coming in from all across our land, from the top of the ticket to lower tickets, to issues, civic issues that were taking place in different municipalities, etc. A time really for our land stopped what they were doing and stood still, and they were watching. To me, in one sense, I think it's funny, and I mean funny, ha-ha, and it's sad in a way. News commentators totally blew it. If I was a pollster, number one, I don't think I'd go into that business. You ask people what they think. Number one, most of the time they don't want to talk to you, which I don't blame them. And number two, questions can be weighted and geared in such a way in which you're getting the answer that you're looking for rather than the truth. And three, it's skewed at best. And Larry Sabato, who is teaches political history and theory and one of the noted election experts in America at the University of Virginia, is a commentator on Fox and a few other channels. The next day he said, he was asked the question, how did you miss it? He says, I believe that you all have egg on your face. He said, we don't have egg on our face today, we have an omelet on our face. They totally missed it. And he was one of the ones that would confess that we missed it. Others are still trying to deal with the fact that, I think they think that the world stood still and it really didn't happen. I pray that God will be with our president-elect. I pray that the Lord will be with Hillary Clinton and Mr. Cain, who did not win. I pray that the Lord will be with our Congress. I pray the Lord will be with our Supreme Court. I pray the Lord will be in our governorships and in our state houses, in our city councils. I still can't quite figure out in Somerville why we have a mayor and we have a city council, but we don't give them power to do anything. Maybe some other day one of y'all can explain all that to me. I'm not smart enough to understand that issue. And I don't need to be educated about it today. But I'm not conducting a poll. But in the story that we see in Scripture this morning is really a microcosm or a photograph of what's taking place in our land today. Our land has people who are hurting. Folks, we need to say the truth. We have a crippled society. We have folks and families that are hurting. We have ones that folks will help get them maybe as close to the temple, as close to the church, who will try to offer for them what measure of help that they can. But there's still hurts that cannot be fixed and cannot be healed, cannot be taken care of, no matter how good our intentions might be. We will always have hurting people with us. In the setting in the New Testament here, the church had just been born. The upper room experience had just happened a few days before. And in that upper room experience, as God settled in on the 120 plus and filled them with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came in and empowered and cleansed and empowered and filled each of them and gave them a power to testify and to preach and to witness like they never had before. Gave them also the capability, I believe, to speak healing where healing needs to be heard. Peter and John were two that were in that upper room. They were two who had followed Jesus. They are two who had waited on the Holy Spirit, and they were going to church to pray. It is really appropriate to go to church to pray. Amen? Whether it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 3 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock at night, 10:45 on Sunday morning or 10:45 at night, it's appropriate to come and pray. But everywhere you look, you're going to find people around you that hurt. Some, it's easy, you can see, they look like they hurt. Others are very good at putting on a mask, and you can't tell if they're hurting or not, because they don't want to look like they're hurting. They want to hide the hurt. But they're hurting nonetheless. This crippled beggar was not one who was trying to hide it. He was being put in an appropriate spot to where people could see him. And as they would see him, they'd pass by, and he would really cry out, "Have mercy on me, have mercy on me." And he thought that money was his answer to get him through the day and to get him into tomorrow. And I don't know how money could have possibly cured the lameness that he had and was experiencing. But he was hurting. The disciples came and were on the way by going to church. And you know, quite often, church, here's a lesson. Sometimes we're so busy trying to get to church to do the church thing that we don't notice the hurting people right outside the doors, right across the streets from where we live, maybe parked right next to us at the grocery store or walking down the aisle in the shopping center right near us, and they're hurting. And oh, we're busy. You know, it's almost like the story of the Good Samaritan. We see him, but we walk by on the other side because we don't want to be bothered with them. Church, our world is hurting, and they don't need to see us just buzz on by to go do our God thing. They need us to notice. We needed to pray, yes, and I believe the church prayed. Franklin Graham and many other religious leaders called us to prayer before, and I called our country to prayer, and God heard the prayers. And whether your candidate won or your candidate didn't win, God still heard the prayers of his people. And I believe the church, in one small degree, was at least woken up to the fact that we need to pray. But I pray also that the church was woken up to the fact that we need to notice there's hurting folks around us. They don't need us to ignore them. They don't need us to buzz on by. They need us to stop and take account and stop and notice. This guy thought his help was going to be some money. "Hey, could you slip a $5 into my hand? Could you give me some change? You got any change you can spare? Can you just write me a check? Can you give me something and then allow me to be the one to go find the medicine that I need?" Giving medicine, giving money to people who have hurts quite often is the last thing that they need. but it's the first thing they ask for. Money's not the answer. We've got hurting people around us. They need our help. They need us to notice. But what they need us to notice not only is the fact that they need help, but that there is a healing that is there for them. God had done a change inside Peter and John in such a way that they could become change agents to share God's message not only verbally and in how they live, but physically they had the capability to be able to pick someone up and help them to be able to stand and walk and jump. He said, well, that wasn't much of a jump. I'm not 20 years old any longer. And for those of you that have been helping, working on the parsonage and stuff, I don't think you're jumping very high either. Imagine. This guy thought that this day the answer was going to be, I'm going to have a few more shekels. Two more people notice. Maybe they'll reach into their pocket and give me something. But I had no idea that someone would reach down and pick me up and help me to walk in to experience God with them. Church, there's people that's hurting around us that I believe God, as He has worked in you and in me and filled us, He's given us that capability that we could help reach down and pick them up and make a difference in their life. In the world in which we live right now, in the land in which we live, it's so confusing. I don't understand the rioting. I don't understand murdering police officers. I don't understand attacking first responders. I don't understand a lot of that, but I do understand that Jesus alone is the answer. Our world is hurting and it needs to be picked up. And God in His plan has asked me and you to reach down and pick them up. To notice them. Not to just walk on by. Not take some coins out and flip it near them. But to stop and notice. And reach down and in the name of Jesus, pick them up and help them to walk. It's not giving them some fish, it's teaching them how to fish. It's helping them to help themselves. It's helping them to become an active worshiper of the one who has changed our lives and is worthy of our worship. He's worthy of theirs. I believe the world is looking at the church right now and will be looking at us in the coming years. Our role does not diminish. In fact, our role becomes even that much more important. We need to keep the lights on. We need to keep the doors open. Because people need to be able to come to Jesus and see Jesus. This place stands not as the only church. It's just a symbol of the fact that we gather here and we gain strength. But we gain the spiritual strength to go out into the world when we see that person like the beggar that we now know have the sensitivity. That's somebody that I can help pick up. And it very well may be that God has you as the only one that will see that person that you could pick up. Oh, you might physically pick them up, and that's great. You might be able to bring healing that way, but did you know that your smile and your kind word might be the only smile and the only kind word that they see and hear all day? You may be the only Jesus some will ever see. Whether it's someone who is involved in Sal's interviewing and an investigation, or somebody that comes in the office where Monique is, or somebody that comes in the hospital where Catherine is, or somebody that comes to one of the school programs where Susan teaches, or somebody at the Naval Yard with Tommy, and I can go all the way around the room. There's people that we come in contact with that they're nervous and they're hurting and they're looking for answers and they don't know what the answer is, and it's not necessarily that we preach to them or preach at them. We live a sermon of God's love and what a difference He's made in our life. You see, one day I was that beggar, and somebody reached down and picked me up and helped me to walk closer to God. Pastor Fred, there was one day that somebody reached down and picked you and Sue up and set you on the path going closer to the Lord. Bob and Nancy, somebody reached out to you guys in Jesus' name and picked you up and said, you know, I don't have money to give you. I'm not giving you what you may think that you want, but I can tell you what I needed, and what was given to me, I pass on to you. That Jesus is the healer, and that He makes a difference. Oh, there's hurt in our world. There's hurt in our land. There's hurt in our families. Oh, they desire help, but quite often what they think is help is not really the help that what they need. And God helps you and I to let them know the difference, to bring about the kind of healing that's needed. We need to be ones who are prayed up. The setting before, you saw that they had been in the upper room. They had prayed and prayed and prayed. They had devoted themselves. They'd gotten into God's Word. They were going back to church to pray. But God gave them a sixth sense, a spiritual sense, that there's a hurting world around me, and they need me to notice them and be a part of a change agent that can bring healing and hope to what seemed like hopeless situations. You see, Christ, He's the hope. He's here, hallelujah. He's still in our land, America. He's still working in people's lives. He's still working in families. I believe this morning He's in a waiting room in a hospital in Montgomery, Alabama, but He's in a sanctuary in Somerville, South Carolina. He's also in the addresses of those that you love where they are and they have needs. But God gives us a chance to be alongside Peter and John, disciples who will notice someone around us that maybe just you being you, used of God, could pick them up and make a difference in their world and in their life. Christ is the hope. World doesn't understand all that. They need to see it lived out and then hear it explained. As this miracle had taken place, Peter addressed the crowd. They looked on. They were amazed. Verse 11 of chapter 3, when the beggar went with Peter and John, and all the people were astonished and came running to them at the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us like you live in our own power of godliness that made men walk? It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, who glorified His servant Jesus Christ. You handed Him over to be killed. You disowned Him before Pilate. You decided to let Him go. You disowned the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released. You killed the author of life, but God raised Him from the dead. And we're witnesses by this. By faith in the name of Jesus, the man that you see here who was made strong, it is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through Him that has given this complete healing, as you can all see." The world sees when lives get changed, and the world sees what big or little part we get to faithfully do to be a part of the solution. Church, God's wanting us to be a part of the solution in the coming days. We still need to pray. we sure still need to live for the Lord. And we need to look at those opportunities that God might bring across our path. That's someone that you're going to come into contact with this week. Might literally need your hand to reach down and pick them up. Might literally need your smile and your witness and your act of compassion to be Jesus to them. I'm so glad somebody reached down and picked me up. Aren't you glad that somebody reached down and picked you up? America, our world, Jesus Christ through the church is going to reach down and try to help pick you up and bring you into the Lord's presence. Pastor, how in the world can I possibly do that? Get plugged into Jesus and stay plugged into Him. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, use me. However you want to use me, use me. And when I come into those situations and opportunities, don't let me boogie on by. Don't let me not be bothered. But help me to notice that you're the help that they need. You're the hope that they need. What a difference Jesus has made in my life. Precious Lord, this morning, it's not a day to gloat. It's a day to be thankful that you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's a day to realize that you love the just and the unjust. You love those that are protesting, which we don't understand. And you love those that sit quietly at home. You love those that are on the way to the house of worship. You love those that sit outside and are hurting and literally just need to be picked up. May we be your feet and hands. May we be your voice. May we have your ear and sensitivity to see the world around us as you see them. Thank you for the difference that you've made in my life. And God, may the church be the church that you'd be proud of in these coming weeks and days and months and years as we seek to draw people to Jesus. And I ask this in your precious name. God's people said, amen, and God bless you. Go in His name and look to pick folks up. As you're walking out the door, there is a sign-up sheet there in the foyer for next Sunday's Thanksgiving dinner. I hope everyone knows it's an all-church Thanksgiving dinner. It's a long-time tradition. We'd love to have you here as a part of it. And if you'd like to sign up for bringing something, stop by and check that list out.